apartment, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When we call up on no and show up, man, them the shot toss.
We kick off hour number three of the program. Checking out some talent rankings for Matt.
That are useless.
Four out of five of Florida's five-star players are starters playing this game.
What positions?
Healthy. Corner. Receiver. Defensive line. And linebacker.
All right, so pretty well.
Who's the linebacker?
Brenton Cox.
Okay, so he's like DN.
I call him Edge.
Yeah, yeah.
So Edge, interior defensive line, wide receiver, and corner. And then they got a running back that's not really kind of a bust. Tennessee's two five-stars are Brew McCoy and Darnell Wright.
Yep. So they're both, I ride with those guys.
They're both starting as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amari Thomas, he plays a lot.
So their two five-stars are on the D-line? You said what two of their five-stars are on the D-line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Edge and D-line, yeah. Deep.
Good to know.
I mean, Ramel Keaton's our fifth-rated most talented player.
You know, some are saying this is a breakout game for him.
Some are saying? Who said that? I'm just curious.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I mean,
Hickman's whoever,
if they plug a guy in Cedric Tillman's spot, I don't care who it is, it should be a breakout game for that receiver.
You would think so.
Yes.
Now, if they move Brew McCoy to Tillman's spot and then put someone else in there, maybe the new guy doesn't break out. Maybe Brew has 18 targets or whatever. I don't know. We'll see how that'll be. There's a lot of fascinating stuff that we're going to learn just right
out. Leads the conference in catches.
Right out of the gate.
Take the Vandy guy out, but he's played an extra game.
Let's go to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Got Roberto up next. What's up, Roberto?
Hello.
Hello.
We're here.
All right. You're there. That's good. That's good because I called to make sure that you were there, Nate.
Okay. Well, I can just hear. I can hear my echo about four times. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
You can?
Yeah.
Is it still that way for everybody?
Yeah.
I'll call back.
Nice.
Is that okay?
I don't think you can even hear it on the radio. So if you as long as we sound good for you, it's fine. Go ahead. What you got for us?
Yeah,
what
you
sound thinking?
Great. Loud and clear. Here's the deal. I had not heard about the Ventrell Miller thing until about, 2.5-3 minutes ago when Houston said it. I'm a little hivey now. I was pretty confident. The fact that caller Matt, who I like a lot, did not know that when he didn't even know who he was, that needs to play into your betting lines, boys. If he's healthy, I mean, he's literally their best player. You know, if we're missing Till and he plays, that's 7 points for me, guys. I still think that the line is right at 10 or 9 if he plays. But still, that guy's – would you argue, Houston or Nate, that guy might be the best linebacker in the conference minus old boy down at Alabama?
He might be. He's an animal. He's everywhere.
He's a tackling machine.
Yeah. And we're talking about talent and stuff. I mean, he's originally just a ho-hum low three-star. So,
yeah, again, I guess what Hickman's saying, though, I don't necessarily agree totally with what Hickman's saying. I think that rankings do matter somewhat, but Florida is not coaching guys up. They're coaching them down, and we're coaching guys up. So, you know, I still think Tennessee has a major talent advantage. And at this point, you know, usually Thursdays when old Berto starts to come down to earth a little bit from the hype of the week, I'm very confident that we're going to win this game. Again, Ventrell Miller throws a wrench in my plan here. If he plays, he's definitely worth 3 to 4 points on a line. He's that good. He can stop a play that we're going to score on or set up a field goal on. I'm very confident that Tennessee's going to win. I'm no longer confident they're going to cover. I do believe that we have the best athletes on the field. Would you guys agree with that? I mean, is Brew McCoy the best athlete on that field or Jalen Hyatt?
Ugh. I don't know enough about their secondary to say yes or no.
I mean, you could throw Squirrel White into that conversation, too. I know he's young, but he's a burner. He's an athlete.
He's not taking enough snaps for me. I don't think they're going to. Here's the thing with Heupel, if we know one thing, he'll let younger guys get their touches when it doesn't matter. But when it matters, he's going to be his captains and his guys who've been there forever getting the touches. You guys agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think early in a game like this, you lean on those guys.
Yeah. And that's why Cedric Tillman being out is such a huge deal. And that's one thing I want to talk about. I rewatched the Akron game last night. Why in the hell was he in the football game? Were we not up 28 points when that happened?
I can't remember the exact score. Look, it depends on what the coach and the player talk about on the sidelines. But when he got hit by Sampson, when he got tackled in the end zone on the first touchdown, and he was slow getting up, and you saw the replay of the ankle rolling, at that point, and I know Heupel probably didn't see that exact angle and that exact replay, and I'm sure Tillman wanted to stay in the game, but at that point in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to see him out there again. I'm not blaming anybody for it. I just personally thought, you know, his night should have been done. But it was still the second quarter. I mean, Nate brought that up the other night. Like, it's the second quarter. You're gonna give your guys a half.
When you're up three touchdowns and you've already got a guy dinged, which it was pretty clear that he was dinged after that touchdown run. Heupel does this all the time. It's my one gripe, my one truest gripe about Heupel. He overplays his starters way too much. When you're going to just demolish a team, and it's pretty clear. And it's frustrating to watch and know that our most reliable player who we lean on when it's third and seven, where's that ball going? Everybody in the freaking crowd, everybody on the freaking field knows it, and they can't stop it. That is a big point of worry and should be a point of contention for Vol fans going forward. I really do believe that. Guys, I really appreciate the time. Great show today. I've really enjoyed it. Can't wait to meet our boy. He's going to come by the tailgate. I guess it was Logan Balls.
Landon, yeah.
Looking forward. Landon Balls. Excuse me, Landon. Looking forward to meeting him. Sounds like he's a really nice guy. So, guys, have a great day.
Thanks for the call, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you reaching out to him, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Balls help balls.
Hope you have a great tailgate. Let's go next to DR Vol on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and Out.
What's going on, guys? So I caught the tail end of it. Forgive me. I'll listen on the podcast. Was Matt getting on to you, Nate, for being negative or what?
For keeping the cup on, essentially. He said, well, actually, his exact words were for being realistic.
That is exactly what he said. For being realistic. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've always admired about you, Nate. You know, I had a Vol fan a few years ago that's the resident rapper. He wanted to fight me at Dead End Barbecue because I said we wouldn't go 11-1. I just felt like I was being realistic, and we went 5-7 that year. The cup is always on, and I don't know why anybody ever takes it off, because it's Florida. We invent ways to lose. The 14-15 game is why I am a beaten dog with this series.
I don't understand why people are so against leaving it on. I mean, you still get to celebrate the same way once you win. I mean, it's a different type of excitement and lead up, but like I'm still like on pins and needles for the football game.
Well, for me, like this isn't a heart thing for me. Like I get it for a lot of people that it is. Like I'm legitimately looking at Florida's players, what they've done, what they can do, what they can't do, what they're good at, what they're bad at. And I don't particularly love this matchup for Tennessee. I'm not saying I don't think they're going to win. I just think, you know, the people calling for 45-10, I would love it if it happens. I would absolutely be, you know, dancing in the streets. I think they're going to slow everything down. I think they're going to try to run the football. I think we're going to struggle to stop the run early. The good thing is Florida, not a very deep team. And I do think, you know, if this the longer this game is closer, the more frothy the crowd gets. And I think that could force them into a late mistake. But I see those things with this Florida team where – are they a great football team? No. Do they have certain players at certain positions that make you nervous? Yes. And then obviously, like even if it's the invent ways to lose to Florida, like Nate, we've already muffed punts this year. We've had a punt block this year.
Got a crap ton of penalties.
Like we haven't been the perfect football team. I mean, the final scores have looked good, and the win at Pitt, that was great. You overcame a lot. But, you know, we got some things that we need to clean up too, and those are things that a first-year head coach, Billy Napier, he's going to be thinking, you know, if Pitt can block a punt, we can block a punt. They're going to be coming after that. That's something we got to fix. We've muffed punts. We can't do that in this game. And we've shown a propensity to do that. Maybe you tell Flowers, hey, just get away from it. I don't know. But, like, I see those things, and it doesn't matter if it's – this could be a team with different jerseys on it. Like, I'm just seeing the mistakes we've made. This is an SEC football team. They're talented. They're trying to figure out their new coach and their new system. And, yeah, I just don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Do y'all think – because you talked about the muff punt, and, you know, there were some overthrows in that Pitt game, too. The margin for error is thinner in this game than Pitt. And I guess that may be a dumb question because I think Pitt's probably a better team than Florida.
Nate, if you muff a punt and have a punt blocked this weekend, not feeling very good.
You're just giving them a chance to win. It gave Pitt a chance to win. Yeah. I mean, Pitt could have gone for two, got it. I mean, they're one play away from having a one-point lead late in the game.
But with our offense, the way we go, I don't think mistakes really – I mean, if you muff a punt, if you throw a pick, mistakes in the Jeremy Pruitt offense were always 10 times more magnified than they actually were.
That's a very good point because you didn't have as many plays or the firepower to overcome them. I completely agree with
now
that.
Now you have the firepower. You have what? You're probably running, what, 30 more plays a game?
Maybe more. Some games, yeah.
You got two extra possessions at least with this offense than most offenses have. So – I don't think the mistakes in this game or any game we make with Josh Heupel are as big as they have been in the past.
I see what you're saying, Adam. I'm going to end with this, and I'll hop off here, guys. I know everybody always talks about, you know, the streak Florida's got against us, and that's not Heupel's streak. But there's not a guy on our team that's beaten Florida, and there's not a guy on Florida's team that's lost to Tennessee. And that's I still think that plays a role because of how we look at Kentucky and vice versa in that series. I'll hop out there, guys.
Thanks for the call. I just don't understand why we have to jump to, oh, we're definitely more talented. Like, I don't think so. I think if Hendon Hooker had gone to Florida 2 years ago and Josh Heupel had gone to Florida 2 years ago and he had Justin Shorter and Xavier Henderson and Ricky Pearsall, who are all – higher rated recruits than all of our receivers outside of Brew McCoy, they would be putting up the same numbers. So this whole, like, our guys are better. No, they're not.
I think they're better at what they do right now.
But put them in the combine. Florida beats Tennessee in a combine tomorrow. Saturday. Easily. It's not even close. Now, luckily, we're not playing a combine. We're playing football. And we're in year two of a system. And how your offense is packaged together makes all the difference. And who your quarterback is probably the most important thing. And we should have a huge advantage in all of those departments. But if you muff a punt, our offense barely scored the second half against Pitt.
3 points.
So saying like, well, if we muff, you know, I mean, which is unfathomable. If I'd have told you before the Pitt game, we're gonna score 3 points in the second half of this game tomorrow. On the Friday before Pitt, we would have all been like, I don't believe you. I do not believe you.
What so if Richardson's throwing his picks?
Then that's great. I mean
you're only saying it our way.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what we're talking about,
though. I think
Florida hadn't scored in the third quarter in three games.
I think Tennessee will win the football game because Florida is not very good. Playing football right now. They're not going to win. I disagree 100% with Roberto, who's like, our guys are way more athletic than Florida's. No, they're not. We are playing better football than Florida right now, and we better hope it continues on Saturday because we've just seen it before. I mean, and it's college football. Crazy crap happens.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think I'm more confident Tennessee wins because of what you just said, Brett, because Florida's having problems. If Josh Heupel had this Florida team 2 years ago, and he was playing Billy Napier with this Tennessee team on Saturday, it would be the exact opposite. So I don't know. I'm sticking on that one point.
And you got to also feel good that Tennessee has won a big game while also having problems themselves.
That's like a big hurdle, especially when you've been losing those types of games with your previous coach. It's like what we're talking about the players. Well, they never beaten Florida. Well, they never really kind of won one of those gut check games, and they won one this season. So that's a big feather in their cap. I'll agree with you, Hickman.
I think the number is like if you have – you can win games still with this offense having two big mistakes a game. Will that happen all the time? No, but two big mistakes is not going to put you out of a game. And I think if you go anything over two big mistakes, once you start getting to the three big mistakes, four, I think at that point.
Well, then you better hope that they're matching you.
Yeah.
That they're also throwing
picks. And
that's
the only chance you'll have. Yeah. But, I mean, two big mistakes, and even if the team's playing a relatively clean game, I still think you got a chance.
You definitely do, and it's a refreshing part of Heupel's regime over the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, their running backs are better than ours. Their offensive line's better than ours. We have a much better quarterback, which is so much more valuable than,
yes,
you know, in the game of football. But their defensive line's better than
ours. You
think
their skill players are better? Just receivers?
Their wide receivers would beat us in a combine, but I think we have better wide receivers at playing football. Does that make sense? There's a difference. Like, Justin Shorter was the number one receiver in the country.
He's going to run a faster 40. He's got the higher vertical.
He went to Penn State and wasn't very good and had to transfer to Florida and has been okay. Like, he's not – it's not like everybody's raving about him the way they are Cedric Tillman. Cedric Tillman gets open in an offense that's built to help receivers, and he's got a quarterback that has flourished in that offense, and he's a better receiver right now. I was just trying to make the – like, now at running back, I would trade our running back room for theirs in a heartbeat right now, and I think everybody with a brain would do that. Doesn't mean I don't like our guys, but, I mean, they're beat up. They're not as athletic, like – That's a simple one.
Florida's O-line, too, probably, I mean, like, it is more talented than ours on paper, but I would argue that I think we have the experience edge.
I agree, and I'll push back on the D-line a little bit. I mean, they're terrible against the rush, and they only have three sacks. Like, maybe more talented, more stars.
Well, maybe we're better in the front seven, but I don't, like, yeah, that's fine, yeah, okay.
I mean,
they play a 3-4, too, so I guess you got to count Cox as the fourth lineman.
Right.
So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 2 5-stars up there. I don't know if I don't know why that. I don't know enough about them to know why they got so gashed against South Florida.
Either. I mean, their D line and linebackers have combined for 2.5 sacks. Trey Dean apparently got in on 0.5 sack.
And then imagine that celebration.
No, I'm sorry, 1.5 sacks because the other one was linebacker Amari Burney. So, and they're really bad against the run, at least so far. They've been very, very bad against the run. So I'll push back a little bit, but again,
they're a bad football team right now.
With good players,
but. Yeah, with you know, I and some of those guys, I like the composite rankings only to look at them more as a whole, you know?
Sure.
Because when you pick individual guys, you can always find the 3-star that's great now. I mean, the guy that Berto's talking about, Ventrell Miller, he's a low 3-star. Cedric Tillman, 3-star. Both those guys are one of the best players on their teams. And then we can find a 5-star on both rosters that are just a regular starter or whatever, you know.
Darnell,
so, I mean,
right.
Yeah, you look at, I mean, you know, like, he's fine, but he's not like a huge
difference.
He's not
lived
maker
up to the 5-star billing.
So those things, they kind of should balance out, and they usually do. That's why I think if you do make mistakes, it depends on how Florida plays. We've had games, like Mississippi State came in here against Jeremy Pruitt and played like just absolute dog slop. Any Tennessee team could have beat that. The Georgia State opponent, Tennessee team, may have beaten Mississippi State that day. So I hope to God that Florida comes in and does not play well. I mean, that's just part of the kind of the luck of the draw. And we can, you know, hopefully Heupel and our guys have that, they're ready to force that upon them. But you just never know. And we'll see. We'll have to find out. That's why we're all on pins and needles. I guess we can try and answer Hickman's question next. If you're more nervous at home or at the game.
You're listening to 3.
First things first, rest in peace, sucker fair. For real. You the only father that I ever knew. I get my pregnant, I'ma be a better you. Prophecies that I made way back in the veil.
Hour 3 continues. Appreciate all the phone calls, interaction today. Thursday edition of 3 and Outs. We get set for the Gators.
perfect weekend for tailgating the football game. People have been asking. I've been slacking. As of right now, for Saturday, high of 80, low of 61, 0% chance of precipitation.
Zero?
That's what it says. Humidity will be at 49%, which I feel like that's pretty low.
It's pretty good.
Wind, 8 miles per hour.
A nice breeze.
Does not give a direction.
Okay, I'm gonna guess it's going to come from the northwest if it's cooling off this much. Just a hunch.
You know what's crazy?
Northwest.
And I'll get off of this after this deal. And this really doesn't matter because I also believe that teams that have been better recently get a recruiting bump.
Yes.
A natural kind of subconscious bias from their rankers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Tennessee's talent numbers, you know, this is obviously coming out of high school. Tennessee's highest rated 4-star player is Amari Thomas, okay? So 4-star, .9577. He's supposedly, at least as a player, coming into the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's Tennessee's third best player, .9577. Florida.
Sorry, I was scouting.
Has 7 4-star players ranked ahead of that.
Hmm.
So essentially, Florida has 12 guys that are ranked ahead of every guy on the Tennessee roster outside of Brew McCoy and Darnell Wright. Now, maybe that's just all, you know, maybe they're where they're from or whatever, you know. And like we said, it's weird numbers. Like, for example, Addison Nichols is a freshman on Tennessee's team, offensive lineman, highly rated, isn't playing because obviously at offensive line, it's more of a developmental position. There's other guys.
Yeah,
if he
yeah.
was a running back, you know, compared to other running backs, maybe he'd be in the rotation or whatever. Different positions, different stuff. You know, Ramel Keaton is one of our highest 4-star guys, and maybe this is a day where he finally he's a senior now, you know. Maybe this is kind of maybe he has a breakout game in Cedric Tillman's position. I don't know. We'll find out. But it's really more of a way to say how bad Florida is as a program. And speaking of that, it kind of transitions us into one the thing I did tease earlier, so we'll hit it quickly, and then we'll get to Hickman's question. It was Dan Mullen talking about Anthony Richardson, and they were asking him, why do you think he played a lot better against Utah than he did against Kentucky or South Florida? And his response was, in the Utah game, Florida was the underdog. It was the first game. He feels like Anthony Richardson, who he said, you know, obviously he's got tons of talent. He just went out and played football, you know. He made his reads. He ran around. He just played the game. And just there wasn't a lot of pressure. They were the underdog. They weren't even supposed to win.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, he seemed to take off at the right times. He didn't throw the ball right to a defender. Like, once they won that game, now all of a sudden, oh, Florida, they're so much better than we think.
They're 12th best team
Heisman,
in the country.
Heisman.
Yep,
yeah,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And they go into the Kentucky game with expectations and pressure. And he feels like Anthony Richardson starts pressing and thinking too much and not just reacting and playing the game and having fun. And it's been that way the last 2 weeks. That's Dan Mullen's take on it. I don't know. I'm sure there's some element of truth to that.
Think there's going to be any pressure on him this Saturday in Neyland Stadium?
A lot.
Is that a pressure-packed environment, you think?
A different type of pressure. I mean, they're obviously a big underdog now. The worst case for Tennessee would be that he plays best with this "you can't do it" chip on his shoulder. Best case for Tennessee is that he doesn't do well with any type of pressure and with all the noise, and if things start going wrong, it just melts down and gets worse and worse and worse. And that's, you know.
I would like that. I would like that very much.
Kind of a cow situation. Now,
a what?
Cow. Like melt.
Cow.
Yeah.
I thought you said cow.
No, C-A-L.
Like
not
moo.
C-O-W.
Got you.
Cow. Yeah, like that. More nervous at home or at the game?
For me, it's at home, and it's no question.
Like during the game or like the lead up to the game?
You answer it both
Consider
ways.
It all.
Before and during.
Before, I'm more nervous at home.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's just home. Because, like, if you're on campus before the game, you're walking around, you got to get to your spot, maybe tailgate, talking to somebody. It's a good distraction. You're distracted for a while. Oh, yeah. Oh, you look at your watch. Oh, my gosh, I've been at this tailgate for an hour. We're an hour closer to kickoff. That's great. oh, hey, a new friend walks into the tailgate. Got to talk to them now. So you're distracted. If you're at home, just like with a couple people or by yourself, and you're watching it, you're like, I wish this game would hurry up and end. I wish this game would hurry up and end so the Tennessee game can come on. If this game runs over, I'm going to be so mad. If we miss kickoff, because they got to show the end of Kentucky Youngstown State, I'm going to lose. Like, it just builds and builds and builds. Then when you're at the game and you're in there, for me at least, I'm like, you know what? I can make a little bit of an impact here. If I'm loud enough, if I scream, if my section's a little bit quiet and I stand up and I say, hey, come on, let's get – I feel like I can impact the game. I can do something. If I'm at the house,
you're helpless.
And things are going poorly, I'm pouring another one. I'm just like, this is terrible. You just feel helpless when you're at home. I'm way more nervous and at the house.
Misery loves company, too, you know? There's just something about being at Neyland Stadium.
Even when things are going bad, you're just looking around like,
We're all in this together.
Like, we signed up for this. Like, we bought tickets to this when things go poorly. And then, but I will say, when things are going good, you'd much rather be at the game than at home.
I don't think so.
Oh, dude, if we're up by 30 in the third quarter, there's not going to be a more fun place in the world to be than Neyland Stadium. Everybody's just high-fiving after every play, beers in the air. I mean, yeah, no.
I will say, this will be my first UT football game since I got glasses.
Breaking. What does that mean?
You just have to be able to see better.
I mean, my eyes were bad.
You know, be able to spot, you know, whether Josh Heupel's, you know, called this play, that play, be able to see all the details. I don't know. I think before the game, I think I'm more nervous at home. During, though, I think it's the same. It's just different. I like being at the game because you can see things that you don't get to see on TV, but sometimes you miss
things that you can see.
Telling you about happening that you don't see.
The worst is being at the game when somebody gets like dinged up or something.
And you don't know. Yeah.
And everyone's like tweeting about it or texting everybody else like, what happened? What happened? What happened? Did he go in the tent? Whatever. Yeah, that's always tough.
I mean, leaving the game in 2004 was I've never heard Neyland Stadium sing, but it did that night. Like from the bowels of the just the chants, the cheers. Yeah, just leaving the game. I mean, everybody stayed till the bitter end, obviously.
Had to.
it was just this like euphoria of like you were almost partying as you stood to just wait for the line to move walk out the tunnels and
And everybody's singing. It's great to be a Tennessee. Singing. I mean,
literally singing. You just screaming out. You know, go Vols. Mm-hmm. Random people just high fiving people as they pass. You know,
everyone's just kind of floating out of the stadium on a night like that. Like really is great.
Sensory overload too,
in a good way.
Yeah,
when you win,
and it's
if
also,
you lose, you're sitting there in line like hurry the
that
hell
sensory
up, you
overload
fatty.
Is good before the game too because it keeps you distracted.
We had a tweeter say, you know, it's a catch-22 because if you're at the game, you might catch some hell from opposing fans when they make good plays or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're off social media, usually. I mean, you can't get it. And then when you're at home, it's the opposite. You know, you can interact with so many people, you know, digitally, but you're by you know, maybe by yourself. Or just
I hate that. That makes me more nervous, I think. Like when things are going bad and all of a sudden, like national writers and pundits are like, whoa, what's going on with Tennessee? This thing's, and you're just like, why don't you shut up about it? Why are you watching this game? You should be watching it. We're not playing well. Go away. Nate, some football and baseball VFLs have given their score predictions for the Tennessee game.
Okay.
There's quite a few of them. Do you want them?
No, give me the highlights.
I haven't looked at them because I wanted it to be a surprise.
I was just glancing at them just now.
Danny O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee 38, Florida 28.
I was hoping he had a really random score so I could be like, I'll let other people make the joke. Like,
is he on the drugs again?
Is he on crack?
Speaking of on drugs, Aaron Medley.
Yeah.
Former Tennessee kicker, beat Florida in 2016.
He's going to have us winning by a field goal, surely.
Tennessee 45, Florida 17.
Oh, okay. He doesn't want the kicker to have to be involved in the
what a guy.
Deciding this outcome.
Ethan Wolf. Ethan Wolf, Tennessee tight end, beat Florida in 2016. Tennessee 38, Florida 28. Same score. Danny and Ethan have taken the same score that they won on in 2016.
Nah,
you,
I see. Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Jack Jones, Tennessee 38, Florida 17.
Okay. Mm. You got a Colton Jumper score in there?
No, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't scrolled down. Todd Kelly Jr.
All right.
Tennessee 38, Florida
28.
They love that score. Thomas Edwards.
Who the hell's that?
He was on the team in 2016, by
yeah,
God.
Yeah, he was. He beat Florida.
He did. He's got a notch on the belt. Tennessee 22. 22? Sorry. 42.
I'm about to say.
42. Florida 17. Travis Stevens.
Oh.
Legend.
Okay.
The man who single-handedly ran all over the swamp in 2001. Whatever the year is, he also beat him in 98.
Speaking, it's hard.
Also beat him in 98 as a true freshman. Tennessee 37, Florida 24.
I like where he's going.
Ted Schwanger.
Not Schwanger.
Who beat Florida in 1952 and 1953.
Still alive?
No, they asked his corpse if we're going to beat Florida on Saturday, Hickman. Tennessee 38, Florida 24. Will Mabry. Tennessee pitcher, 7 wins against Florida in 2021-2022. Tennessee 21, Florida 17.
That's another reason they should have Tony V as the guest picker. Like, we don't have any baseball issues with Florida, you know?
That's a good point. Phil Jones, VFL 1973 and 74. Tennessee 42, Florida 24. Kyler Kirbyson.
Oh, yeah. Remember Kirbyson?
Played from 2011 to 2015. Tennessee 28, Florida 24.
Ooh, would not like that.
And Dan Harrelson of VolsWire.com. Tennessee 37, Florida 27. Here are the Gators Wires, boys. You ready for the Gators Wire, boys?
Let's hear this.
Adam Dubin. Tennessee 42, Florida 24.
They're more negative than Tennessee people.
David Rosenberg of Gators Wire.
Yeah.
Tennessee 42, Florida 31.
A lot of points.
Pat Dooley, Gators Wire. Tennessee 35, Florida 20. Sergio De La Sprilla. Tennessee 38, Florida 21. This guy is literally from
everyone. Like, there's not, have you found one person?
Not, well,
anywhere?
No, not yet.
No, I don't just mean this article. I mean at all.
There might be one. I'm still scrolling. This guy's from LSU Wire.
Okay.
Tyler Netuno. Tennessee 34, Florida 24. Pete Fuitak.
Fuitak!
College Football News.
Oh boy.
Oh my God. Just kidding. Tennessee 30, Florida 23. The average final score is Tennessee 37, Florida 23. A 14-point win.
Hickman was on that train before.
For the good guys.
I know. I started a national trend here.
No one's picking the Gators. What could go wrong?
Well, it's good that, you know, we've shown that we should be the better team. Like, we shouldn't fear the aftermath of a loss. That is where Matt's right. Like, you can fear losing, but let's not fear the higher expectations. We'd rather have the higher expectations. That means we've played well. I would hate to have been so poor in the, even if we're 3-0, have played so poorly against Akron and Ball State that people think it's going to be a 1-point game instead of a 10-point game.
That's a good point. Yeah.
We shouldn't fear that everyone's picking us to win necessarily. All that's good. You just got to come through. You just have to.
Have to.
Yeah. It's just one of those games.
It's the law.
Yep. It's the way it's got to be. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. Right back at you next. Here's a pick with an explanation. The Gators will run the ball well enough to keep it close all day, but lack the big playability of Hooker and his targets, who should have the advantage, especially on third down, a major Florida weakness, and pull out a statement win over a rival that will feel like an important test passed precisely because it was close. Tennessee 36, Florida 27.
Who's that?
This Nate Hodges. Is... No, you'll get mine tomorrow.
I'm just kidding.
This is James Parks of SI.com. Oh,
36-27?
That was written like he was going the other way.
Yeah.
Well, that 36-27. Yeah.
Would you take it right now?
36-27 win?
Hmm?
36-27 Vols win?
Yes. Would you take it or let it ride?
You guys are morons. You take
it
in a
heartbeat. Absolutely.
I'm looking at him. I just
he wants his 14 points.
I know. They both do. They're over there like, well, at least Brett was like, no, you take it. You take it.
I mean, I take it.
I would take 3-2 right now and walk away.
Okay,
and just say, I'm
done. I would take an Iowa.
I would take an Iowa game if it meant we were Iowa and won it.
I think that's what Kentucky's going to try and do. I mean, they're going to try and – Kentucky. That's what Florida's going to do.
Kentucky too, probably.
They're going to play like Kentucky. They're just going to try and run the football, ground out, you know, get to 3rd-and-3 and then just eke out a first down. I wouldn't be shocked if they run the ball 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-5.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends on what Billy Napier really thinks about Anthony Richardson. Does he really think that, he throws it great in practice. We just got to give him a little more support, call him a little better pass plays. Or does he flip the switch and go, man, Richardson passing ain't it. We're just going to pound the football, try and stay on the field all day. Make sure we score touchdowns in the red zones and in the red zone.
Bleed the clock.
Yeah, and win this thing 21-20. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if that's their plan or.
That is what Kentucky tried to do last year, and we scored 45.
Yeah, somehow we got the amount of possessions, but they did get the game tight.
Yes, yeah. But every time we got the ball, we just went right down the field and scored until we fumbled late and almost blew it. But we did have a pick six.
How much is the score changing in your guys' mind? Me and Hickman are pretty adamant on what we're going to be looking at. You guys got a number in mind?
You guys have an internal battle right now with yourself?
A 24 hours till we make our picks.
I'm settling in on it a little.
We all pick Florida to win the game before the season.
No.
Right?
Not me.
No, the opposite.
Yeah,
we
all
pick
Tennessee
to win the game before the season. So
my only fear for really this weekend, and just one of the bigger ones, is Warren Burrell's coverage going to be so bad to where even Anthony Richardson can't miss those throws?
Well, can we even if Tim Banks has told him all week, can we get our secondary to completely sell out that this guy can't pass? That's one thing I worry about. I've been there coaching where you tell a kid, it's like, this person will not do this. You need to be here. And I know it feels weird because against everyone else, we play it differently.
Mm.
But you've got to do that. You've got to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've told kids, this person's going to put their head down and drive to the basket every single time. They are not going to take that shot. Like, play, don't come outside the paint. And they just.
Next thing you know, they're off their feet, hand in the air, watching the person go around them. Yep.
I told my team for 3 days that the best player on the other team is going to drive the ball late every single time. Somebody's got to step in and take a charge. Somebody's got to step in and take a charge. When we're in help, you got to step in and take a charge. And late in the game, the person did the same thing. Went right to the basket. And, you know, somebody Olayed at the last second. And it's like a three-point play. It's like, I told you.
You had been warned.
So I don't know. Like, are we going to play too big a cushion even though maybe we're not even supposed to? That's tough.
NFL Eliminator picks. Sorry, Nate, you're going to sit this one out.
My pick.
Brett's up first, then me, then Hickman. Brett's up first.
Chargers.
Interesting. Okay, so you're locked in on the Chargers. Okay. Yes. Interesting with Herbert and the fractured rib cartilage, but he apparently went through practice. He looks okay.
The Jags at home.
They need to give Eckler the damn ball in the red zone.
Hey, the Jags did not look that bad.
I shut out the Colts.
I mean, the Colts aren't very good, but the Jags did not look that bad. Speaking of the Colts, who stink, I'll go ahead and get my Chiefs pick out of the way. Take the Chiefs over the Colts. That seems like the easiest money to be made this weekend. The Chiefs will absolutely ravage the Colts, in my opinion.
I hope they don't.
Well, yeah, because I just picked him. That would make sense.
And me picking last, what's new?
You're the best at it, though.
I am the best at it.
You said you'd pick last every week because you're so good at this game.
I guess it does make it fair that I pick last and you bozos go before me.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to pick a team who is a legit Super Bowl threat this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles.
Yep, that's a good Commanders. Pick. That was my other one that I wanted. I just
Commanders.
The Washington Commanders.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the Eagles are legit.
They look good. Though.
We'll see. Kirk Cousins in primetime always stinks.
That was my Super Bowl sleeper, I think.
Yep.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took the Raiders. Oops. They stink.
Didn't you guys both take the Raiders?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a big day for
but
us.
But I took the Bills.
It's a big day for LSU. Chance. Apparently they're getting their...
notice of... No, they're getting the ruling.
The infractions, yeah.
Or is this the notice of allegations?
No,
or is
they
this,
already had that.
Okay, so this is going to be what their penalties are.
I think so, yeah.
Big day.
Wish it was a four-hour game.
Huge.
And apparently Shane Beamer is just going all Butch Jones, making up stats. I haven't watched the video yet.
Oh, God, really?
This one.
I can't either.
Yeah.
He's so cringe, but it's actually fun to watch it when it's not your coach.
Mm-hmm. Man, on the mothership, inside the five biggest games of week four, and there's just a gorgeous picture of Hendon Hooker loading up, ready to fire another touchdown. Feels good to be back on the national scene, you know?
It is nice to go to ESPN and, hey, there's your team. They're,
mm-hmm. We're everywhere right now.
The orange pops. It's a big opportunity for Tennessee.
Maybe we'll learn to the guest picker today.
When did they?
They announced Luke Combs this time last week.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, it was on a Thursday.
All right.
What if they still don't have one? What if they don't have one at all? I'd rather them have not
Tony
a guest
D's
picker than Peyton Manning.
What are you doing?
He's a
don't be spurred. Don't want that rumor to be true.
I think that's a joke or a clip from that previous time.
Oh, Bill Bender made his pick.
Also Tennessee.
35-28 balls. Touchdown.
And it's hard to watch how bad Florida's been the last couple weeks and come up with a way they win the football game.
Which is why I'm scared to death.
Couldn't be me.
Well, we'll get you all set for the weekend tomorrow. Huge show. Don't miss it.
Huge.
Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio. The Blitz is next.